Go ahead and...
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Congressman, Congresswoman, Speaker, everybody. Benny Francisco Inchia, just good afternoon. As I mentioned, my name is Benny Francisco. I'm Dene from Peru, New Mexico, the eastern part of the Navajo Reservation, just west of Albuquerque. And I'm the director for Tribal Court Assessment with the BIA Office of Justice Services, Tribal Justice Support. And I'm here with my colleague, Melissa Lee. She is the Tribal Court Assessment Specialist, and she is new on our team and has been a great help in our office. So we have a short presentation here on the Tribal Court Assessment Program. So I'll be very brief, just an overview of the assessment program and our purpose of these assessments. I'll also share with you some data as to the number of assessments we have conducted since 2013. I'll show a slide on some of the funding that have gone out from our office, and some examples from reports that have been written for tribal courts. So we are a very small team, spread across spread across the United States. Tricia Tingle, she is the associate director, is office in Washington, D.C. We just recently got Alfred Urbina, who is the deputy associate director. He is office in Phoenix. And then myself and Melissa, we are both in Albuquerque BIA office. And then Rodney Robinson, who does the diversion and reentry program, as well as the Tawahe initiative, is officed in Billings, Montana. And then our again, staff assistant, Simone Toya, is officed in Albuquerque as well, with Melissa and I. So we are a small team, but we get a lot done, and we spend a lot of money. So it's a good team to work with. So the Tribal Justice Support Directorate is based out of the Section 3602. It's a statutory directive that's been implemented by Congress that has established the Tribal Justice Support Office. So several things that our office does in the language of the legislation is providing guidance and technical support to tribal courts, via advisory services to tribal courts, and then oversee the CFR courts, the Code of Course of Indian Offenses. We also provide funding to tribal courts. One of our biggest initiatives we do is training. We have funding for training, and we also, if there's an opportunity that the tribe would like to host a training, we provide them funding for training, and they may do training for themselves or in their region, and other tribes may come and join their training. We're promoting cooperation between the different judicial systems in the area, so the tribal judicial systems, state, federal systems, mainly on collaborating and for resources is the main objective for that. And then, of course, like I said, the oversight of the CFR courts. In Albuquerque, we are housed in the same building as the Albuquerque Santa Fe CFR court as well there. One thing I'd like to make note is the tribal court assessment is not a 638 AOTR evaluation of a tribe. So there are two different assessments that the BIA does. One of them is for tribes that get 638 funding. they have an awarding official that will come in and do audits for on tribes, whether it's a different departments or if it's a tribal court. So we are not that. That is something totally different. Our office does not do that. Our office does the court assessments, and in the next slide you'll see that we do the tribal court assessment program, which is a statutory directive under 3612. So if you look at 3612, that is our backbone of our office and how we operate and what we do. In that language, 3612, it mentions, along with all the other ones about funding and technical assistance and training, it mentions that our office does annual surveys of tribal court. And in these surveys, we are looking at the overall function of tribal court, the area of the tribal court, looking at the tribal court history, the profile, and basically identifying the needs of tribal court, which then is reported to the Assistant Secretary and then on to Congress for the sole purpose of getting more money and providing more money to the tribal courts. So that survey has then now been involved into this assessment program, and we currently utilize the trial court performance standards. So the trial court performance standards is a standard that was developed by Department of Justice and basically for state trial courts. That has since been modified by our office in conjunction with DOJ for tribal courts. And so the standards that we use are for state courts. However, it's been modified. We have put in measures and provisions in there that are reflected for tribal court. So this trial court performance standards template is available on our website. You can download it and you'll see every single measure and every single performance areas that our vendors look at. So just a little bit of numbers here. To date, since 2013, and I only count up to 2013 because that's when we started utilizing the trial court performance standards. So to date, we have conducted 118 tribal court assessments, and of that, 33 are currently in progress right now. So these numbers are always changing, and at 118, we've completed 85 court assessments. Right now, we have 10 pending and currently in progress in Alaska, 11 in California, and 12 that are outside of the two states there. This just shows just the timeline of how these court assessments have increased over time. So when we first started the assessments with the new measures in 2013 to, you'll see, to 17, I mean, it's been an increase. And right now, last year we did 35. We were well over 35 this year. And it's because we have funding and that we've been able to award more contracts to the vendors to do more assessments out there. Now, with the current situation with the budget, I'm not sure where that is headed, unfortunately, but right now we're focused on what we have, and that is why we're out here on the ground trying to get courts to sign up and get these monies out. Just an overview of some of funding since 13. So the green represents the total of all these little bars here. We have several accounts out of TJS. We have a program account that, of course, covers the program and the personnel. But in addition to that, majority of that money goes to tribal courts. We also have a TGS TPA funding as well. That all goes to tribal courts. We have a VAWA. We have two VAWA accounts. One of them is for implementation, and the other one is for training. So those all money money all to the tribal courts. Tribes that may be wanting to implement VAWA are eligible to get money out of there. And then tribes that are wanting to implement, they have the opportunity to use money from there to set up trainings.
Question. So would your office be the office that the nation would talk to about implementation of VAWA, and there are funds available to help us do that, or is it a different office?
It'd be a different office, but we work very hand in hand.
You would help facilitate that, because I'm interested in getting more information on that.
No, that's okay. That's not my question.
Okay. And then also the Tawahe account as well. And so we have, Rod is the guy in our office that does all the Tawahe stuff. And so we have that account as well. The PL-280 account is very new. We only got that appropriation in the, I believe, fourth quarter or third quarter of FY16. So just a quick brief on the 280, we got appropriation from Congress for $10 million specifically for the PL-280 tribes, specifically for the ones in Alaska. So as many of you know, there's quite a few villages and tribes that are fairly recognized in Alaska, and way more than three quarters of them do not have tribal courts at all. And so their senator up there has really advocated for them, and she was able to get $10 million appropriated to TJS to facilitate these court assessments, training, direct funding to PL-280 tribes, and basically set up tribal courts in Alaska. So that money is strictly for them in Alaska, California, the other PL-280 tribes in the lower 48, the optional tribes, and there's also a small dollar amount in there for basically anybody and everybody. That's a small amount. So we have that for 16 and 17, the PL-280 money for that. I'm not sure where it's featured on that one as well. So back to the trial court performance standards. So the way these assessments are conducted, in the statute, it says that our office must hire non-government entities, so independent contractors, to conduct these court assessments in tribal courts. And for several things. I always say that these assessments are self-assessments of the tribe. The tribes basically are the tribal court is self-assessing their court system themselves. The vendors are just there to help facilitate themselves. And so we are looking at what do you have currently? What kind of systems do you guys have? Any issues? And then, of course, the good stuff is always noted in the assessments as well. It is a document that is given to the tribe and says, these are the findings that the vendor has identified. These are your recommendations, and here is your strategic action plan for the next 5 years. And so that's why I would say it is a self-assessment of the tribal court. And so, looking at existing problems, formulating a strategy, formulating an action plan for the tribal court, looking at what works best for the tribe, looking at what can be identified as improvement for the tribal court. And so the next slide, so they are all evaluated on five measures. So there's 22 standards that are divided in five different performance areas. So we first look at access to justice. So access to justice is basically how accessible is your tribal court to court users, to the tribe. And it identifies things even as court security. Does your court have proper court security? Evaluation plans, looking at your accessibility for disabled people? Do you have rails on your bar? I mean, your rail bars on your ramps. So those are the things that are identified in that particular measure. The timeliness of a case. So the vendor will look at case files and looking at basically the timeline. Are there any things that maybe are slowing down the process that could be fixed? So basically that would be like maybe improper filing, or maybe the filing system is just maybe outdated, or maybe the tribe is utilizing Excel, and a recommendation could be, well, the tribe may consider doing electronic filing and utilize a case management system, which will speed up the process. Looking at the equality, fairness, and integrity of the court, how does the court operate? Is there a separation of powers? Is there any type of just like how independent is the tribal court is really what that is looking at. And then, of course, the fourth measure identifies that the accountability of the court, looking at is the court implementing VAWA? Are they considering VAWA? What are the procedures for maybe child support proceedings or repayment? How does the court accept payment for fines? Is there community communication to the tribe? So those are some areas that are identified. Now, it's very important to know that this evaluation is not an evaluation of an individual. It's not an evaluation of the judge, the clerk, or our vendors are not there, or we are not there to identify any violations of due process or any violations of federal law. That's not what we're there for. That's other people's jobs, and we are basically here to help the tribal court and to identify what is working for them and how to better the system. The last measure, the tribal specific findings, that is an area where the contractor has the ability to identify specific findings that are not listed in the top four performance areas that the vendor may feel that is important for the tribal court to know. So that could be like a code, your children's code needs to be revised. And so that's where the vendor would identify that finding and give its recommendation. That's been utilized a lot now in Alaska for many of different things. Of course, the criminal jurisdiction there is different than the lower 48. So they're finding more things in several different court systems that are not in the top four. So this performance area we use, I mean, it's, as I've said, it's a state standard system, but it's been modified, and it's, we're currently finding different areas that can be improved, and I think it's with the help of doing these more assessments that are done, and with the help of tribal courts that the template will improve over time. So why should a tribe get a tribal court assessment? Well, as I've said again, it is a self-assessment of the tribe. It becomes a tool to assess the tribe and, of course, us to identify resources, identify the need for tribal courts, identify funding needed to provide more effective administration of justice. So that's all related to identifying or identifying the need to get more money for tribal courts. And then it becomes a tool, a plan, a blueprint for tribes to improve their justice system. And again, a self-assessment and self-improvement for the tribe. So you take this document and you prioritize as to the recommendations and fix what's needed, there might not be any issues, but it's just an opportunity to better streamline your justice system. And then, of course, identify areas where court is performing well and what could be improved. This is just another way of saying that this document is for the tribe, that you may utilize this to set targets for yourselves, for the tribal court, to occasionally revisit and say where are we at on these recommendations, because some of these recommendations may be like you need a new court facility, or it could be as simple as your furniture is not arranged in the proper way that could cause tension between the two parties. So those are some things that can be fixed immediately. So it is, it's used in several ways in that matter. Then, of course, the tribe then becomes eligible for one-time funding from from TJS. So one-time funding means that the funding occurs one time, and it's not a base increase for the tribal court. And then one-time funding does not mean that the tribe only gets money one time. They may request for additional funding the following year or maybe 6 months down the road. Let's see. Any questions so far?
No.
So the funding for the one-time funding for tribal courts, the funding is specifically specific to the report that is written, and specific to the recommendation and findings that are written in the report. So examples of some of the items that we fund. So court management systems, any type of alcohol monitoring systems like scram bracelets, any type of health assessments that could be in areas of maybe providing an evaluator, a higher position to evaluate people who maybe have mental health problems, personnel positions, so guardian ad litems, staff attorneys, bailiffs, court equipment, training for court staff. The training could be for travel to an off-site training, or it could be training specifically for the tribe to host a training for themselves. That's normally, I've seen it done for the bigger tribes that have a bigger staff. And then consultant services, so for like code development, manuals, bench books, procedures, policies and procedures. And so for that type of service, we require that the tribes present us a proposal, so of deliverables and a statement of work that the tribe intends to utilize their contractor for. And all of this stuff, we need quotes for all of the equipment and position descriptions for any personnel positions that the tribe may be requesting for. The next couple of slides just are examples from actual court reports. And here is a measure, which is performance area one, courthouse security, identified needs. And so it shows down here in the finding that this particular court did not have cameras, there were no panic buttons, and the furniture are the tables for the opposing parties were too close to each other. And there was a door that the court close to the judge's chambers that were not, that was not utilized. So that was a finding. The recommendation for that particular finding was, of course, think about using the second door for its proper use. Install cameras, install alarms, and rearrange the litigants' tables to better accommodate the court users. So once the report is presented to back to the tribe, and I'll go over the process after, the tribe then has the opportunity to prioritize the findings in the report. And this is an example of what we received from a particular tribe, basically prioritizing their findings and the recommendations from the vendor. And it shows what was done immediately. And this is not required. I mean, this is just, this is helpful for the tribe. This is helpful for us. But it showed what was done immediately, like rearranging tables and the furniture, what they are currently requesting right now. And then they talk about how they are planning on visiting some of the other recommendations, like a new court facility, code development. So this is just helpful for the tribes. Then it also helps us see where the tribe is really prioritizing in the funding. So based on this, the tribe has requested cameras, furniture, I believe they're a case management system, a bailiff, a process server, court sign. So we require a budget. It doesn't have to be very complex, but as long as all the items are identified and what supporting documents is what we require. So that is the overall of the court assessment. So in order to begin the assessment, we need a letter of request from the tribal chairman or the chief, and that initiates the process. Once we receive that letter, it is then provided to the vendor for this district, and they just begin setting up the meetings. So once we receive the letter, our vendor in here in District 2 is ready to go. So that's one of our missions, one of our reasons for doing this outreach is some of the tribes just haven't been submitting their requests. And so we're out here in the field, you know, getting the word out. So once we get the letter, Melissa then does all the coordinating and coordinate with the tribal court in setting up the first meeting. The first phase of the assessment is the initial meeting. The initial meeting is between the vendor and the chairman or president and the tribal council. And then, of course, the court staff, of course, they'll be there too. Basically, it is just the time for the vendor to get in more detail of the process, get more detail of the court assessment, answer any questions, and it's a time for the information gathering to begin. So at that time, the vendor likes to get any copies of the constitution, bylaws, codes, policies and procedures, and start scheduling meetings, interviews with the tribal court. Sure.
Back on page 16, you showed a template of the budget that once you go through the assessment process and you prioritize what you might need for your courts. I see the total requested amount is $162,670. Mm-hmm. Just your experience in doing what you do, what portion or how much of that request is granted? Is it 100% usually of what they request, or once they submit it, does it go through a vetting process by your office and you try to discern what the real needs are? Mm-hmm. So Of that 162, yeah. 670, how much do you think is awarded to that court?
I would say at least 80% of it.
At least 80%?
100%. I think the Dakota tribe got all of this. Mm-hmm. There, we don't say, I mean, there's no cap in the mm-hmm. assessment. But of course, we fund all 567 tribal courts, you know. So there is not a cap, but again, being realistic is what I always say. You know, I've never seen our office fund $500,000, $1 million. I've seen them fund $300,000 all the way down to $5,000. So it really depends on the report. It depends on the caseload, how active the tribal court is, and you know what are the immediate needs of the court.
So, thank you.
Yeah. So
you're in pretty bad shape. Get all a bunch of money.
So phase one is the initial meeting, and then phase two would be the on-site assessment. So that's when the vendor will be on-site, and it's usually multiple days, and that's when all the observation happens, any reviewing that they need to do, any interviewing they need to do, talking to the community, talking to the court users, all that, and it, again, it depends on the size of the court. It could be from 2 days to 4 days. Sometimes in certain occasions, the vendor likes to combine phase one and phase two together and do the initial meeting like in the morning or the first day, and then the rest of the days will be the on-site assessment. Once the on-site assessment is completed, the vendor has between 60 to 90 days to write up the report. And the report normally is about 75 pages. Some of the bigger tribes, they range up to 100 pages. And that is then submitted to our office, to me, and I do the review. And I basically look for the tone of the writing. I'm very cognizant about the way the vendors write these assessments. So that's very important. I always think about the reader of this report and who it's going to be presented to. And then, of course, any grammar and stuff like that. Once that is fixed by the vendor, it is returned to us. We send it to print. And at that time, then the vendor reaches back out to the court to schedule the final presentation of the report. The report is then presented to tribal council and tribal leadership and tribal court. And that could be in form of a PowerPoint or just going over the report. The last couple pages of the report summarizes all the findings and all the recommendations, and that's where usually the vendor will focus on. And they'll go by each performance area and then identify the findings and recommendations for that. So that is the process. The vendor, we very encourage the vendors to return back to the tribal court, maybe a month, 6 months, a year, basically just like, how is it going, a courtesy, I guess. How are you doing? You know, do you need additional help? Do you need some more training? Do you need technical assistance? Where are you at with implementing these findings? So it's, as Tricia has always says during presentations like this, that we are one of the office from the BIA to help. We are here to help. We have the funding that we need to spend, and we are just here for the tribal courts and to betterment of tribal courts. So I think Melissa hand out the template of the letter. That is available on our website. Melissa, if you email Melissa or I, we can send you the Word format to that. You can just basically change out the names on it. The performance measures is available on our website. I believe you have copies of the brochure, which gives some more detail of the program. That's all. Any other questions?
One thing that we've also had our vendors and our contractor come out and maybe the first or second visit, the initial on-site prior to the assessment coming out. If they feel that emergency funding is needed, they will work with the tribe in gathering the information so that emergency funding is done prior to the one-time funding. So that is something that also your vendor has done. We've seen the vendor do. Okay. Or there's emergency funding that is funded or given.
Good. Congressman Tillman, then Speaker Pratt.
Benny and Melissa, thank you all for coming in and delivering your presentation. It's very informative, very professional. Couple of things that I had is if we decide to go forward with this process, based on what we send you in an application, how long would it be till you would actually be on site?
So there would not be an application, it's just a letter of request.
Okay, and so then
from
how
the chief. The vendor is ready to go, so I mean, it'd probably be.
Okay.
It depends on the tribal court. So whenever the tribal court is ready, the vendor is ready.
So the survey and then the assessment, you say it takes 2 to 4 days?
Right, so it just, like I said, it depends on the
sure.
tribal court and their schedule and their docket. So if there's an opportunity for the vendor to combine two of the phase one and phase two together and be on site for 4 days, they're on site for 4 days and that's when they're gonna do all the assessment. The overall process is about roughly, I'd say, 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vendor has 3 months to write the report, and we go back and forth and get it printed. So from start to finish is about 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, the vendor could probably, it depends on your court, but they are ready to go, and I'm sure it could happen within the month.
Are you finding any similarities across Indian country that are common? Or
yes,
something?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like as far as findings?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
So
there's plenty.
They all have kind
yep.
of certain
yeah.
needs that
yes.
are similar to one another.
Very similar, very similar. Yes.
Okay.
And I know Benny mentioned, but construction, we don't fund construction. It comes from a different source. So buildings and the other thing is.
Oh yeah, so I forgot to mention during the funding, but we don't do construction. We don't fund uniforms, we don't fund anything related to law enforcement, and vehicles, those are things we don't fund.
And your final follow-up is done when? Or do you...
There's really not, a timeline is when the tribe is ready, or we reach out and say, but it's usually within like 6 months.
After everything's completed?
After the vendor gives a report to the tribe, a follow-up could occur between 1 month to 12 months.
Okay,
thank
yeah.
you.
Sure.
Speaker Pratt.
Okay, so I was just reminding you all that, again, the chief was aware and agreed to move forward this way. That's why in the resolution, it basically incorporates the letter. It is a copy of the letter before, and the chief signs it. So that's why here it says the Osage Nation requests to participate in the tribal. Just the verbiage in the letter, and then that the Congress fully supports it. And then I would imagine, and then there's an opportunity for the speaker as well as the chief to sign for both of our branches
mm-hmm.
on the resolution. And then I would imagine just the cover letter was attached, and then
yeah.
I mean, we could take that, and really, when I got, I'm headed back tomorrow.
Once
I
they would let, still have to act on it.
Yeah.
While.
Meaning, once we let's say we receive that Monday, then I would do an acknowledgement letter with letting the tribe know or the chief know that we received the acknowledgement, and then letting the vendor know that okay, vendor, we need you to reach out to the tribe and get this going.
Congressman Mason and Congresswoman Edwards.
I just want to address our committee. Firstly, sitting here on the outside listening. Has our justices, our judicial system, what is their inclusion in all of this? Question.
Participate in the assessment as far as
Do they concur with this? Do they support it?
At the beginning of the meeting, I stated that I have spoken with Chief Justice Strand, and she supports the resolution. We had a conversation about it, that she appreciated it and supports moving forward with this resolution.
Okay. Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I'm going to report on ONCR 1719 to Congress with the new pass recommendation.
Second. Motion on the floor with the second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yep.
Yes. Motion carries. Motion passes with ONCR 1719. Congress with a due pass. Thank you, committee. Thank you. Thank you. It's 2:50. We are scheduled till 3. We have another meeting right after. ONCA 1742 is an act to establish the official definition of holiday leave for employees of the Osage Nation and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. You have the floor.
At the last meeting, you requested that I give some further explanatory language in the bill. I have asked Legislative Council to help me with that, and therefore I have done it. So at this time, I will move to adopt ONCR 1742 as a committee substitute.
So all of this language.
Okay, we worked on everything that had a day certain.
Okay,
we can't identify New Year's Day because it moves around.
Who did?
Right. Well, then, yeah, but I'm just telling you.
So, anytime it didn't move.
Okay, so, at the last meeting, we asked Congresswoman Edwards to identify actual specific dates if she was able to. I'm sorry, I know we're in a small area, Speaker Pratt. We're trying to get through our last piece of legislation.
Right, I understand. Excuse me. Okay.
All right, so Congresswoman Edwards has made a motion to adopt the committee substitute. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No opposed. Motion carries. Okay, so we have the committee substitute for bill number ONCA 1742 in front of us. It is to establish the official holidays of the Osage Nation. Per my understanding, this has come directly from the handbook. The employee handbook.
Yeah, and I see a place. I'm sorry, I see a mistake. Page 1, line 20, insert an S after holidays.
Okay.
That's a motion.
It's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No. Motion carries. Okay, is there...
I just have one thing I want to say about this bill, if you don't mind, Chairwoman Bufflohead.
Yes, go forward, please, with your comments.
Well, the only thing about it is we're Osage, and I know that we do observe Sovereignty Day, albeit we've celebrated it on a weekend. I don't know how the committee feels about leaving the fact out that Sovereignty Day is an official holiday of the Osage Nation. That's my only question, and I would be for putting it in also if you wanted to say it's observed on a Saturday. And
is it the first Saturday?
It's been my understanding that it is not a Saturday, but we have been observing it on a Saturday, and the employees do not get a day off for Sovereignty Day because it's observed on a Saturday, but the official day is not a Saturday.
I thought the official day was March 10th, and I could be wrong about that. Maybe somebody more in tune. It's when the Constitution was passed, wasn't it?
It's in February?
No, then that's not Sovereignty Day.
Oh. That's whenever the celebration is, the Sovereignty Day dance.
Is it?
Isn't it?
No, it's in March.
March, just a couple weeks ago.
The ratification isn't in this copy, is it? Do you have one that the...
March the 11th.
March the 11th.
When it was...
I believe that that's the day
March 11th.
We observe
this. Remember that it didn't make any sense to have it be an official holiday on a day when nobody could come.
Right. I would just like it mentioned that we, the Sovereignty Day is observed the first Saturday after the 11th or something like that. Okay. I don't mind it being observed on a Saturday, but I think that for us to pass Osage holidays and not have that in as one of our Osage holidays, we've missed it.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to make that motion, all I would request of the sponsor is to ensure that it's correct before we go for a final vote on the floor. I'm fine with you amending it here or amending it on the floor. I just want to ensure that it's accurate.
Well, I will amend it on the floor.
Congressman okay. Tillman, or Congressman Walker, sorry.
Well, holidays have been established. This kind of comes in a memorandum or some sort of notification from the executive branch right at the end of the year on what the holidays for the following year are going to be. What's the purpose of this? Why is it necessary?
Well, I think you kind of emphasized it. It kind of comes, and we're not really sure when it comes.
It comes every year a little bit before the holiday. I mean, before the end of the year.
Well, I don't.
He doesn't want it set out in law, is what I'm taking out of this.
I mean, it doesn't do that, and sometimes it does that. Sometimes it's in the employee handbook, and it's changed from the employee handbook. So. And it's changed every year. So no, I don't think it's fair to the employees to have them have to guess when the holiday schedule is. And I don't think it's fair for them to have to guess on December 30th when the holiday schedule is for the New Year's Day holiday. No, I think it needs to be, and I researched it, and it's in law in many tribes and in the federal government and in the state government. So that's why I think it's important to put it into law.
One example, Congressman Walker, and then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, one example would be this discussion we're having on Sovereignty Day. The Standing Bear administration, it's been his policy not to observe it on March 11th and give people a day off of work. His stance is we still have Sovereignty Day, but it's observed on a Saturday when people can get off and celebrate that. I think that if it's set out in law from this time forward, everybody knows what to expect. And another administration, the following administration, won't come in and change that and do as they wish with it. It's set out in law. I think it's just a smart thing to do.
Congresswoman smart. Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is important for the constituents to be able. It's a, for example, Sovereignty Day is a holiday celebrating the sovereignty of the Osage Nation, and I was disappointed when it was originally set on a day when nobody that worked or anybody from out of town could come up here. So it's good for them to know ahead of time.
Why do we keep talking about Sovereignty Day? It's not part of the bill.
Well, we're going to fix it.
Oh, we are?
Well, you probably aren't, but we are.
Oh.
Okay, let's. If you're going to have, if you have an amendment, make it.
Page.
Because we're running into the commerce meeting.
Sure. Page 1, line 32. Insert Sovereignty Day. I guess it's Osage Nation Sovereignty Day.
Okay. And adjust numbers accordingly?
Uh-huh. First Saturday after March 11th.
Motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Congressman Walker wants to be recognized, I think.
Well, what if Saturday is on the 11th?
You want to say on or after?
Sure.
Okay. You withdraw the previous motion and reassert. Page 1, line 32. Insert Osage Nation Sovereignty Day. First Saturday on or after March 11th.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion carries. Congresswoman Edwards,
for catching that.
I know you've been in discussion on most of your bills. with executive. Can you please tell me if executive is supporting us?
Well, I've been talking directly to the chief,
yes,
the chief of staff, about most of our bills. I actually don't think I've talked to him about this one yet.
Okay.
Move to report bill number ONCA 1742 to Congress with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Second.
Motion on fourth, a second. Roll call, please.
Congressman Walker?
Don't say sure. Do not.
He wanted to,
but he has more class than to say something like that.
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Superhall?
Yep.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Chair will entertain the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Yes.
We're adjourned. Thank you, committee. That was good work today. We got three pieces of legislation out.
So Christmas falls on Thursday.
Well, I was sleeping.